Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed to those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And that is Mark chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Bridge. And we're coming at you from the great state of Texas. I am your host, A.W. Varilla. And next to me, like always, the president of this establishment, Steve Den Hartog.
What's going on, everybody? Good to be back with you again this week.
Oh, man, we are super excited to be on again, what, four weeks in a row?
I know. What's going on here?
what's going on
Time
here?
Time warp, I think, or something.
Yeah, so, no, it's good to be back, and ladies and gentlemen, it's been super exciting with this new year. It's crazy that we are almost close to May, right? And and just the things that have been going on the last several months here. There was a crazy eclipse a couple weeks ago that everybody was going nuts for. So we got to see it on Monday and put on the glasses. So
it was very cool.
It was very cool to see.
Just to see the synchronicity of God's creation and how everything happens, you know, according to his plan.
Yes, absolutely. Everything is in order, and God is the God of order. But yeah, Steve, any updates right now on just the ministry, the things that are happening?
I mean, just carrying on with the things that we've been doing already, the podcasts, the Bible studies that we've got. The new initiative. I don't know if we talked about the Concise Study Bible maybe in a previous podcast.
I don't know, but if we didn't, go ahead and just shoot it out there.
Just very briefly, it's something that we're doing this year for people who have been through one of our studies, is we're providing them with a copy of the Concise Study Bible, the ESV Concise Study Bible, and then one copy for them to give away to somebody else. The beautiful thing about this study Bible is that it has six articles that are just a really good introduction to what Christianity is all about, and kind of an overview of systematic theology as a whole. And so we're giving those away to people who've been through one of our studies, doing a training session to help them get acquainted with it and to disciple somebody else. And so we're just really praying the Lord's blessing on that. We've had a lot of interest in that so far. So
yes, absolutely. It's been absolutely amazing of what we have been doing in this new location. Again, by the grace of God and your support, Bridge here in Laredo, Texas, border town, has been flourishing with new people, studies. The new location, as you guys recall, is near the university. It's been exciting to see just the hunger from the young students coming in, and it's just been absolutely amazing to see. I cannot imagine how fruitful it has been. And again, it's the Lord's work, and thank you again for our worldwide listening audience, as you guys have teamed up with us and have believed in this mission here in the border town. Mm. And we just want to say thank you.
You bet.
And again, guys, you know, if you guys want to support Bridge on a monthly basis, this is what we're looking for. But we'll take anything, one-time donations. But for just the purpose of doing more things here, we want to get some more staff, right? Mm-hmm. We have some opportunities for Bridge to do some really cool things with resources in the future.
Exactly.
And we will just kind of update that stuff when it happens. So please don't forget to subscribe to Apple, Android, Google, and please visit our website at bridgemenlaredo.org. We're also on Spotify. So if God puts in your heart to support the ministry on a monthly basis, we'll take anything.
You got it.
Today, guys, we have a special guest, and we'll be bringing in him on here soon. His name is Daniel Alfaro, a local guy who the Lord drew at I believe 17 years old, and saved them and started attending church and felt that the Lord called them to the ministry to become a pastor. The call was there. He ended up going out to California to master's, and we're going to bring him on soon, and we're going to be hearing his testimony of the things that he wants to do, and we're looking forward to just chatting with him because there's some things there that we do want to share with our local audience with Daniel. So, Steve, is there anything else?
Nope.
All right. Let's get this podcast started.
Alrighty.
Well, Daniel, thank you for coming on to Bridge Radio. He is a good friend and a brother, and we are super excited for Daniel Alfaro, local guy of Laredo, Texas, the Valley as well, just to give us his testimony, give us what he's planning to do, because we are super excited. But, you know, before we begin, Daniel, can you please, you know, introduce yourself and let us know how the Lord drew you to saving faith?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Daniel Alfaro. I am a citizen of Mexico that the Lord brought to the U.S. when I was the middle school times. I was probably like around 13 at the time. And I didn't grow up in a Christian household. My parents were not believers. My dad claimed to be Catholic. My mom claimed to be Christian. Neither of them went to church. Neither of them read the Bible. Neither of them prayed. So it was just all words. But there was this sense of God in the family because of the culture. So they did teach us about there's a God. He judges people who do the wrong thing. So that kind of made it so that we were trying to be good people, moral people, at least I was. So I had that fear of God. Like I remember I wanted to avoid doing certain things because I was afraid God would judge me. Occasionally we'll go to a church with my grandma. I think she was a believer, but I'm not really sure. But it was around the age of 17. I was in high school, there was this girl I liked. I wanted to invite her to come and run with us. I was in the cross country team. I remember that when I invited her, she said, "Oh, I would love to go, but there's this thing going on at my church and I would love for you to come." And I remember to me, it was like, okay, I like this girl. And she's inviting me to come to this church. Like, I was really excited. So I said, yes. That I wanted to go. I didn't have a ride. She offered to come and pick me up. I was even more excited at that point. And I did not know that meant her family was going to come and pick me up. So that was a little awkward. Her mom and dad came and they picked me up. It was a youth service. I remember going. I was going to a Catholic church at the time just because my friends were going. And this was very different. The people were so welcoming. They were so loving. And it was really attractive to me. That was very attractive to see that. Like, I did not feel the weight of religion on me at that point as I was feeling it on the Catholic Church. And I just wanted to know more about it. Like, okay, these guys seem very different. They seem very kind to me. I was very embittered about a lot of things going on, even with my family. I didn't really like talking about them. I just wanted to do my own thing. Very embittered on my heart. I wasn't proud of them. I didn't want to be at home. I just wanted to be away. And there was these people who are so loving. So I just wanted to be there. I wanted to come to that church and just stay there, honestly. And soon enough, they challenged me because I was going to the Catholic in the morning and the Christian at night. And I thought that was cool. And they said it wasn't.
You thought it was cool that you were doing
that?
Yeah,
I thought
you were double dipping in the religion world.
I was, yeah. At this point, I really thought all religions, I mean, not all religions, but all Christian, anyone who called it Christian, I thought like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all of them were right. I was an unbeliever. I didn't know any better. And I remember that they challenged me on that. They said, you can't be doing that. You have to choose one. That they told me that in the Catholic Church. So then I came to my friend and I said, hey, they told me this, like, what's going on? And she said, yeah, you have to pick one. And I'm like, how am I supposed to pick? And she said, well, read the book of Acts. And I was like, okay. So I read the book of Acts. And it wasn't until I got to chapter 11 in that book where it says that for the first time, the believers at the Church of Antioch were called Christians. Mm. And in my own naive way, I thought, well, it doesn't say Catholic, it says Christians. Mm. And so not that that was the right interpretation of the text, but that's what led me to choose the Christian church over the Catholic. Plus, I like the girl and other things, right? But
the real reason.
The real reason.
That's what did it, right? That was my reasoning at the time.
I love the honesty.
And so I started going in the morning and in the evening. And that's where I started hearing more about who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he did. And it was like, I did not have any problem with it. It was just like, I just accepted it. Like, I just believed that whatever the pastor was saying was true. Mm. No questions. I was just like, I just wanted to know more. Of course, it was painful whenever he would preach because he was preaching from the scripture. Somehow I knew it was true. I was like arrows like that were pointing at my heart as he would preach. And it was very convicting, especially when I had a better understanding of the gospel and the words of Jesus about forgiveness towards others. And I didn't want to forgive my family over a lot of the things that have piled up in my life. So I remember that there was a night where I just started bawling and I couldn't control myself. People at the church were concerned. I just walked outside. It was dark. I just held on to a tree. And I remember I just couldn't hold myself. And I was just crying a lot. And they came. They found me. They wanted to talk to me. They were like, what's going on? I couldn't talk. And then finally I calmed down. They took me home. And I remember in my mind, I remember there was this idea of forgiveness. And I don't remember the sermon, but it must have been something about forgiveness because that's what was in my mind. I remember coming home. It was a trailer. I went up the steps, opened the door. My dad and my mom are sitting across on a couch watching TV. And I take a step into my house and I just drop on my knees and I start crying again. Like I just lost it.
Wow.
I remember my dad and my mom jumped off the couch, came to me and were like immediately asking like, what did they do to you at church? What's going on? They're unbelievers at this time. And I cannot talk. I'm just crying on the floor, just crying and crying. And eventually, when I got a hold of myself, I started opening up with them and asking them things that I should have asked a long time ago, and I didn't. And I believe that night the Lord changed my heart. And I was about 17. And that night I forgave my parents, or at least I let go of all the bitterness I had against them. I didn't like going home. And from then on, it became something where, in light of what Christ had done for me and having forgiven me of my sin, I wanted my family to experience the same forgiveness. So it went from not wanting to talk about them at church to praying for their salvation every Sunday and just crying. We had to go what they call the altar. We'll go to the front and pray. And I remember that was usually my prayer request. I want my dad to stop drinking. I want my family to be saved. I want them to come to church. So I would start like evangelizing them and inviting them to church. Father's Day, I would invite them. Mother's Day, I would invite them. Christmas Day, like whatever event that I could use to bring them over, I would use that to bring them over. And I believe the Lord did save them. My dad passed away 2 years ago. I hope to see him in heaven. I don't know, but I'm hoping that, and I believe my mother is a believer as well. But
amen.
Yeah, that is how the Lord saved me.
Wow. So Steve, I want you to I'm going to ask you this question. When was the first time that you met Daniel, if you can remember?
I think, as I recall, it was back over in our old location on McPherson, And I just remember Daniel coming in and having really good questions. He would come back to the back room where we had all of the theological books, and he was asking questions, I believe, about, you know, Calvin's Institutes and just a lot of theological questions that this, you know, I don't know how old you were at the time. How old are you now?
I am 32 now.
32. So, you know, that was probably, what, 6 years ago or so, something like that. So
probably more.
Yeah. But usually we don't have, you know, young people Daniel's age asking questions like that. So I just remember him as a really unique young individual. He and Julio are the two young guys that I remember having those conversations with. And so what a blessing. And so that just piqued my interest in who this guy was. And it's just been wonderful to see him grow since then.
And Julio and Daniel went off to seminary.
Absolutely.
And are finishing up this year to become pastors.
Yep.
So, Daniel, tell us a little bit your impact, because the impact that Bridge just had in your life as a resource center, a support center, you know, just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I remember, I don't remember when, but I'm sure it's a long time ago, because I've been in seminary now 4 years. And I think I went to Laredo in 2011. I was in the charismatic church, because I really thought Laredo. I got saved. I was in McAllen, Texas, and then it was not a charismatic church. And then I go to college in Laredo in 2011, and I'm looking for a Christian church to attend. And every friend I had that was a Christian that would invite me to their church, it was a charismatic church. And I'm new to this thing at this time. I don't know what's going on. People are speaking in tongues or doing different things that I'm used to, and so I was very confused. And I was like, okay, I think this is all there is. So I guess that's where I'm gonna go. So I was a church hopper for a long time, and I don't remember who told me about Bridge Ministries. It must have been a friend, because in college I did meet a lot of people. And I remember coming to Bridge and being excited about having a Christian bookstore. I mean, before Bridge, my Christian bookstore was Walmart. Like, I would go to Walmart and try to find like a study Bible, something. I remember spending a long time just looking at the books at Walmart.
And that's exactly why we started Bridge Ministries, to provide those resources for this community and for the people in Mexico that are coming across. So, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so it was so awesome to have a place that is actually a Christian bookstore, not just a secular bookstore that happens to have some Bibles. Like, this place had so many resources; it was like overwhelming. And around this time, I've been introduced to study Bibles. All I knew was my Bible. Then I heard about study Bibles, and then I heard about commentaries, and then I started hearing about this Calvin guy who made a big impact, and I wanted to know more about.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of questions about what is going on. I'm really hungry to know the truth, to know, I had a lot of questions. And I remember coming in and seeing all the books and not really know, like, how do you pick a book? How do you know the author? I don't even know what I'm looking for. Right? So I remember having to go to Steve, as shy as I was, just wanting to know, like, hey, give me a recommendation. I want to know. I mean, the Institutes of Calvin is a pretty thick book. I was not ready for that. So I wanted a smaller book. And I remember he gave me some, and I still have some of those books, some books that were, I think one of them was by Piper.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot the authors, where they talk an overview of the Institutes of Calvin. And he will recommend other books as well about other topics and apologetics. Yeah, I just wanted whatever I could get my hands on. And and Steve was a great source to go to, because he knew what the books were about. And so he knew where to point me to, and not just me just trying to read all the books until I found my answers.
Wow, that's a great, I love hearing that. That's exactly why we're here. So I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, and for our listeners, our worldwide listeners, you know, it was the same thing for me in a different way.
I came in here. My wife has asked me to look for a Bible. We talked about this the other day. But and Steve was here and just, hey, can you guide me to some Bibles here that you have? You know, it was for some ladies at our office. And, you know, Steve is always gracious enough to point you in the right direction. Now, Daniel, I want to talk about Laredo, okay? And for our listening audience, I'm kind of just setting this up, and you'll know why here towards the end of the podcast. But I want you to speak a little bit about Laredo, maybe the valley, you know, Mexico, and just the geography of Laredo. Its difficulties in missions, its difficulty with teaching here, and why we need good, solid teachers, preachers, and trained men in this city. And yes.
Yeah, it's such a unique place, I think. I mean, I did grow up in Mexico. It was by the border. There's no churches where I grew up.
Did you grow up in Nuevo Laredo?
No. The name of the town is Vallehermoso. It's okay. Close to Matamoros, which is across from Brownsville.
Got it. Yeah, yeah.
So there is no, at least as far as I know, churches there that are solid. There's some Baptist churches, but they do have issues. But in the U.S., I mean, there is a church where I grew up, and then in Laredo, as I said earlier, like there was a lot of different groups. Charismatic was the dominant one, and Catholic, from what I remember. And I just remember just having a desire for more than that. I had a lot of questions, and there was no answers for my questions, at least not satisfying answers. I mean, I knew my Bible well enough to question certain things that were going on. And eventually when I heard about study Bibles, that was great, because I could get some answers through the notes on the bottom, the footnotes. And having gone to a lot of different churches in the area, I realized that a lot of the messages that were being preached by people whom a lot of the times were living in sin. A lot of my friends who had gotten saved would become youth pastors really fast, and then eventually they would go back to their sin, and then they would repent or something, and they would put back in the pulpit. And I remember even me struggling with sin and going to some of these friends and them telling me that it was okay. The guy still loved me, and it was just not what I was looking for. I think a desire to learn more from the scriptures, and I did not find that in a lot of these places being taught. It was more stories from the pastor, or more experiences. There was a lot of singing going on, more emotional oriented. At the time, I mean, I enjoyed it. I loved the Lord, and I wanted to love God's people. So I didn't want to question it, but there was so much more I was looking for, and I struggled a lot for those years. Because I did not have a place where I actually felt like I was getting what I was looking for. And eventually I just decided to join a ministry that was going on at the park, North Central. It's in downtown. I forgot the name of the park, but it's by the Greyhound bus station. I heard there was a man there. We call him Pastor Carlos. He's not a pastor, but he was doing ministry there, like preaching to the homeless. And then feeding them afterwards, and I was very attracted to that. So I joined that group, and I used to I became a translator for him. Sometimes he gave me the opportunity to preach, and I just thought, this is great. He seems like he knows his stuff. He was a theologian, he was a teacher, and I loved that. That I was learning from him a lot more than what I could learn on my own. And so we were booed out the park for a few years. Eventually, I joined a Methodist church because they told me I shouldn't be on the streets. My pastor from McAllen said that. So he said, you have to become a member at a church and be submissive to the pastor there. So I joined the church where my fiance at the time was, and I became a teacher there. And they were Armenian. and they were charismatic and I wasn't either. So it was very difficult because they were always talking against my views, and yeah, it was hard. Yeah, eventually the Lord led me out of that church in good terms, and I decided to pray about looking for a church. Like, I never prayed about that. Wow. I just went looking. I remember I said, Lord, I don't want to go back to the churches I've been to before. I want to find a church where the people, where that church has, like, I actually believe what they believe. And I remember I prayed about it, and then I went online and I searched Grace Community Church, and I found out that there was a church called Grace Community Church, like literally half a block from my apartment.
Wow.
And I was really shocked. And so I looked it up. I saw who the pastor was. I heard his testimony. I saw he talked with Ray Comfort, whom I loved. I was like, okay, he's evangelistic. He talked with Pastor John MacArthur. So I was like, okay, he knows Pastor John. And then he's like quoting scripture left and right, every sentence he gives. So I was like, he knows his word. And so I went in the statement of faith, and like, I was like, check, 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 check. I was like, whoa, like these guys believe what I believe. Like, this is awesome. So I called the church. I wanted to go there. I don't know why. I think it was like a Tuesday. Nobody was there. I wanted to meet them. I was just so excited. And they told me, no, sorry, we're not open today, but you're welcome to come on Wednesday nights. We have prayer meeting. So I came on a Wednesday. They had hymnals, and I never used one of those before. So I was super lost.
One of those.
Yeah, I was. So I thought you had to read them like a paragraph. Apparently, you're supposed to like skip. So I kept messing up. And then we had to pray, and I didn't know when it was my turn to pray. I mean, in the other church, people would tap you when it was your turn. And on this one, people just randomly were like somebody in the front was pray, and then there was awkward silence, and then somebody in the back would pray, and I was like, when is it my turn? Like, I don't want to interrupt anyone. I'm so confused. So it was all new to me. But one thing that I really found attractive about this church was that the people loved God's word, and that was new. Because in the other places, they fellowshiped a lot. They did have a sense in which they loved the Lord, but loving God's word to the point that like they wanted to read it more, they wanted to study it, they wanted to memorize it, and everything I would ask them or tell them about, they would always say, "Praise the Lord! Oh, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" And I'm like, that's weird. Like usually people say, "Oh, I did this, I did this, I believe, I did that. It was me, free will." And these guys are just not wanting to take any credit. They just want to praise God for whatever it is that they did. And so I was like, okay, I like this place. There was a desire of for holiness. They wanted to be people above reproach. And I was hungry for that kind of thing. So I was like, I wanted to hang out with these people. I wanted to join them in this journey. So I just became very attached to them immediately, made great relationships, got to know the pastor, Jeremy Bolo. And yeah, I wanted to know more about this. The preaching was definitely very different. It was from the scripture. It was verse by verse. And I was loving it. And one thing that really impacted me was that I thought you had to be in the pulpit to make a difference in the church. And I was missing that. I'm in a new church. I'm in the pews. And I remember Jeremy preaching one time about the body of Christ. And he said that every member of the body is essential for the body to function properly. And he said, you know, you don't have to be up in the pulpit for the church, for the body of Christ to function properly. Where you're at the pew, you can make a difference. And that was so, so impactful for me, because I was here thinking like, I'm no longer a teacher. I'm starting from scratch. And that made me to realize I can make a difference with the guy next to me. And so I'm going to reach out to the guy next to me or the other guy next to me. And instead of waiting for them to come and serve me, I wanted to become a servant for them. And so that was very, very impactful for me. So I wanted to know more about this place. I became a member in this place. And yeah, that's how my life was drastically changed. That's how I became Reformed.
And Steve.
No, oh, yeah, Steve, of course.
No, we know that. So Why do you think that Laredo? So I want to give a little timeline for our listeners here. So you go from Matamoros, Mexico, right? You come into the United States. Where at? Again, it was Brownsville, you said? Where were you?
McAllen. I was in McAllen.
So you go from Matamoros to McAllen, Texas, which is south, even further south in here. That's another. McAllen also borders Mexico as well. All the we're talking. There's different entry points in these different city, but still what we would consider border towns. So you go from McAllen, and then you end up here in Laredo, and coming here in Laredo. How long were you here in Laredo?
I was there from 2011 to 2020.
Okay, so then getting to experience religious culture or church culture, which you just mentioned a little bit. What was, and you just talked about it, but maybe in just a more concise way, what do you think are the difficulties here in Laredo with a lot of the churches? We know that there are good churches here, mm-hmm. But there are very few churches that have faithful...
Expositional,
thank you. Bilingual, seminary trained men here, right? We know that you don't have to go to seminary, right, to be faithful.
Right.
But we live in a city where teaching is absolutely all over the place. And a lot of erroneous teaching. I do believe that there are brothers and sisters here that love the Lord. But there's a lot of churches in error in their teach because of just not proper training, you know?
Yeah.
So can you just speak into that just a little bit?
Yeah. So it's unfortunately that is very true. There is a lot of churches, so that city does not lack churches. I think there is a lot. I visited a lot, and there is a lot more than that. But yeah, the problem is not so much the buildings, but the necessity of teaching biblically. So there is teaching going on, but the question is it teaching from the Bible? And it's really not. It's there's a lot of messages that it's more from a man's perspective, and then it's kind of clouded with some scripture, but most of the time it's not really according to the text. So I believe that a lot of it is because the people are not really properly trained, and I think a lot of the times they have good intentions. But I mean, I believe the Lord is beyond just our motivation. And I can think of people like Uzzah, who saw the ark falling down and went and tried to stop it from falling, and the Lord killed him. It's like good motivation, but that's not what honored the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I think of preaching, and I think of that. It's like, you know, it's not just having a good motive, but you have to do it right. You have to do it to the glory of God, and the only way to honor the Lord is to doing it His way, which is His word, His Bible. We gotta know our Bible, and be people who don't just memorize it but are living by it. And I see a lot of lack of that in Laredo. So seminary is not something that is required to become a minister, but it's so helpful, at least to me. It's been I was teaching already, and I was learning on my own, but I just felt inadequate. I felt like I was missing so much. I felt like I just didn't know a lot of things. And I think, especially with all the books that are being written and people disagreeing in so many areas, it's just so easy to be tossed to and fro, like to different places, because you just don't know. Like, if you don't really know what the truth is, somebody can say one thing, and because they are pastors, then you think that's the truth. But then you hear somebody else say something else, and then you kind of agree with that. And so their commentaries, people might say like, oh, just read the commentaries. But the commentators don't agree in a lot of areas. And so then it's like, well, then how do you know who's right? And the answer is, well, look at what the Bible says. Look at who's actually making a case from the scripture. And so there is a need for people that have that kind of mentality that believe in the sufficiency of God's word, that God's word is without error, and it is sufficient to for all things pertaining for life and godliness. And so we need people like that who know the word, that can pass on what the Lord teaches them onto others. And that's why there's a need for people who are trained on doing that. Mm. Because how are we going to do it unless somebody teaches us? And unfortunately, there is not a lot of people teaching that in that city. And that's why people have to go outside and get trained somewhere else by men that are already doing it.
Yeah.
And then people like me that have a desire to come back to those places and bring in what I learned so that other people can also receive training without having to go to a seminary. So it's not necessarily we want all Christians in Laredo to go to seminary, but more we want all Christians in Laredo to know God's word. And for that, it's going to take somebody that has been trained in this area so that they can pass it on to others who will be able to pass it on to others. We'll be able to discern error from knowing what the truth is. So yeah, there is a lack of that in that city. I'm very encouraged to hear that there are people who are doing it, especially Pastor Jonathan Tucker, who's a TMS grad who's down there. So I'm excited, but it's not just him. I know there's other people who are doing it. I know there you guys at Bridge are also training people that come from a lot of the churches where I came from. And I hear these guys talk and I'm like, wow, like this is new, because when I was in college, there was no talk of that. Nobody knew who Calvin was. Like, nobody knew who Joel Beakey was or all these things. So it's really encouraging to go back to Bridge Ministries after a few years of being gone and things have changed. I know Steve and you, Abe, and other brothers have been investing time on these guys who come to the Bridge Ministries, and I can see that there has been a lot of change in the way that they're thinking, in the way they're going about their godliness, in how they think about God's word. But there is so much more, much more that's pending. And even when I was there last summer, I remember I was passing by and one of the people that were sitting in the Bridge, they were having a conversation. I was having a conversation with someone about 1 Samuel chapter 1, I think it was. And he overheard me and he said, "Oh, well, hey, look at what I'm reading." And he was reading exactly what I was talking about. And I was like, "Oh, that's neat. Okay." I was like, "Oh, what are you doing? Why are you reading that?" And he said, "Oh, I'm preparing my message for Sunday." And I was like, "Well, that's great. What are you preaching on?" And he said he didn't really know. Like, it was literally the next day. He still didn't know what the text was about. And he was a youth pastor. So that was kind of concerning. And then when I asked him what he was getting out of it, he gave me an answer and it was totally off from what the text is about.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt really bad. And again, I didn't want to like just go at him and be like, "What are you doing?" But I kind of felt compassion for him. And I'm like, okay, he's a leader. He's leading people. He has a desire to learn. He's praying to the Lord. Providentially, I'm here. So I gave him, I told him, "You know, I've been studying that text. This is what I got out of the text." So I was able to give him some guidance. And he was so thankful for that. And he said, "You know, I was praying for the Lord to help me understand this text. And he answered the prayer through you."
That's awesome.
So to me, that was very encouraging, because I want to be able to do that in Laredo. And I know there are people who have the same desire. And yeah, there is so much to do. There is people who love the Lord, but they just need guidance. They need somebody to teach them how to do it.
Amen. I know we got to wrap it up here soon, but just one question. You kind of touched on it a little bit with regards to Reformed theology. What is unique about Reformed theology? Why do you love Reformed theology? Why did you settle there?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me, even putting the title to the side, it seems to me that this is something that led me back to the scriptures. So I know that the term might push people away,
right?
Like labels them to push people away, or you say Calvinism, like, "Oh, are you Calvinist?" And right away they don't want to hear you anymore,
right?
And it's like, well, it's not about that. It's not about Calvinism. It's not about Reformed theology necessarily, but it's about the content. What are we talking about when we use these labels? We're talking about going back to the scripture. Like, who were the reformers? They were a people that the Lord called out of the Catholic Church. They realized the church was in error, and they were exposed to God's word, and they were saved, and they wanted exactly what the word said to be what was being taught at the church.
Yeah.
And so eventually they wanted to pull out from error to teach what God's word says. Yeah. So when I think of Reformed theology, I think, well, really what it is we just want to go back to the scripture.
Amen.
What does God say in his word? That's what we want to do in church. That's what we want to do as Christians. So that's why awesome. I love it.
And yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, it's not a new way of, you know, looking at the Bible per se. It's not a new way of interpreting the Bible. It is going back to scripture.
Yeah.
It's going back to scripture and expositing scripture. What does scripture say about this, you know? And holding all of those things, even those things that we need to hold in tension, you know? And just allowing God's word to speak to all aspects of life, the whole revelation of scripture.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that is very important to us here at this ministry and our church, right? I go to the same church that Daniel was talking about. We have a new pastor that came in about almost 2 years ago, bilingual pastor from the Master Seminary. And we go to church, and Steve, you go to church as well. When it's the word is being exposit every week. You're also, Bridge was also responsible to getting a Spanish pastor. You guys have heard of Eduardo, right? We've talked about. He's at another church where he, again, is preaching the word verse by verse, seminary grad, bilingual guy, and is teaching other people. And I just think the impact that this ministry has had, the impact that, all right, if we put a label reform theology, has had on the people, because all we're doing when we say reform is go back, Daniel, like you said, Steve, as you said, is go back to what God has spoken.
Yeah.
And he has spoken, ladies and gentlemen, and he has spoken through his word, right? And everything in it is true, inerrant, infallible, right? It has proven itself over and over and over again in so many ways.
Amen.
And to see just the impact that Bridge, these other churches have had here in Laredo, but the work is not done.
Hmm.
So as we start landing this plane, ladies and gentlemen, there's two things in bringing in Daniel today to give his testimony. He's a local guy. He's a guy from Mexico, came to the United States. The Lord saved him, was in the border town, was here in Laredo, and you guys know we're in a border town. And the need that we have here for properly trained men. And one of the things that we want to do is that we are looking to bring Daniel. He believes the Lord has called him back to Laredo, back to preach, disciple to all the people here in Laredo. And we are looking, one, as a church to help him to come down here. Two, he is coming down here as a missionary pastor. And you're probably like, well, what does that mean? The two other men that are here are also down here as missionary pastor Eduardo, and then our pastor Tucker, which if the Lord brings you down here, you would be under. They get support from their sending churches.
Mm-hmm.
Our church also helps them out, but we are a smaller church, right? Funds are limited, and this is just not our church. It's just in general in Laredo. It's really hard to carry more than one pastor.
Mm.
But biblically, we see that the church should be elder-led. And I don't know, Steve, if you want to just briefly talk about why the importance of being elder-led, and especially in a place like this, but just in general, in that.
Yeah, I mean, the elders are the ones who are given the job of leading the church, of shepherding the church. And so the elders are the ones who are given that responsibility. So they are the ones who really need to know the scripture well, to be able to teach it well, to be able to preach it well. And it's one of those things that's mandated by scripture again. It's not that, you know, we have just kind of decided culturally that this is the thing to do, but it's from scripture. Paul talks about the elders being able to teach scripture well and to preach it well. And so that's why it's so important for us to have these guys who are well-trained and who have that gift of being able to exposit scripture. And that's what I see in Daniel. I see somebody who not only had the internal call, but, you know, externally, I'm sure that he has experienced that as well. Mm-hmm. He is one of these young guys who not only wants to teach scripture, he lives it, you know. He lives and breathes it, not only, I'm sure, in the pulpit, but, you know, with his family. I see his interactions with people as well. And he wants to be an example to people. And so that's what I'm truly excited about, this opportunity, Lord willing, that Daniel is going to be coming here and being a part of this community. He loves the community. He knows the culture. He knows the language, you know. And so I'm just super excited about this.
Yeah, and he is the culture. He is. He knows it. It's right. We're all Christians, right? But the culture. He is the culture. He knows the culture. He understands the people, right? Like, you know, I had to spend years here to understand. You know,
and Eli,
our engineer, shaking his head. He's like, yeah, man. The way you're thinking, man, it doesn't work here.
And if you're not from here, you don't understand that.
Yes.
Because Laredo is not the U.S., okay?
Yes.
Geographically, it is the U.S.
Yes.
But it's a whole different beast. It's a different animal. It's kind of like, it's Mexico with infrastructure.
Yes.
You know? But it's a different culture. And so for somebody to come down here to be a pastor, unless you are familiar with this culture, or you just really feel like the Lord has called you missionally here, it's going to be a tough haul.
Yeah, because this is a mission field.
It is.
For our listening audience worldwide, you guys know, we've been doing these podcasts for years, 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 and we keep saying that this is a mission field. And we've always told people, like, come down here if you're in the area and visit us so that we can take you, because this is a mission field. And some people just think because we're in the U.S., there's not people here that was like, oh, like, well, we think about missions. Well, like, you know what? You want to be international? Just go over the border, you know, 5 minutes away.
Exactly.
You're international. And Daniel knows the culture. And here's why I'm saying all this. We are looking to bring Daniel down, right, at our church. And our church is going to be helping him out. But also, Daniel needs support. And we are asking for any of our listeners, okay, if they're willing to come alongside Daniel on this journey as he is finishing up here in a month. Daniel, yeah?
Yep. Yeah, we got graduation should be May the 5th.
May the 5th. And nice. you're getting your master's in what now?
Divinity.
He's getting his master's in divinity from Master Seminary out in California. That's where he's at right now. And we are looking to bring him here in September. He has another baby on the way, so he's going to be staying in California. And please correct me, Daniel, if there's any of this information is incorrect. But he's looking to stay the summer as his family's already out there. He has... You have a boy, a girl, and then another one on the way. So it's a family of five. And for our listener who knows that Laredo, as much as there is poverty here, there's also it's poor, or you have money, like the middle class is kind of like, you know, it's weird to it's kind of mushed in together, but it's not, it's kind of expensive to live here in Laredo, believe it or not. And that you're probably like, whoa, man, like, why is that? It just is. This is the number, this is a border town. This is the number one land port in the United States. There's a lot of trucking. There's just a little, just going on here. It's like number four in the world or something like that. And that'll fluctuate. But here's the thing. A family of five to bring down here is not easy.
No.
This is why our pastor is also sent as a missionary. This is why Eduardo's also sent as a missionary. And
we're working as missionaries.
And you guys are you guys are working a missionary. So I want our listeners to know, if the Lord puts in your heart, I know that, you know, we're like, hey, support Bridge, you know, hey, now you guys are asking, but you know, this is the mission here. And we, like Eduardo and Jonathan Tucker, help out Bridge in the Spanish conference each
year.
That's been absolutely amazing. And, you know, Daniel, hopefully come down. He can help out with that, right?
You bet.
we're putting in you. We're going to put that in there already. But
Daniel's going to be working.
Daniel's going to be working. For a listening audience, right? And Daniel, I'll have you come in here in a second. For a listening audience, if the Lord puts in your heart to support Daniel on a monthly basis, whatever it is, we don't care, right? Whatever it is, $10. Daniel's looking for consistent support on a monthly basis so that he's able to budget, right? And we're going to let you know where the money is going, because the money right now is going to be going to a mission agency, right, Daniel? How about I let Daniel just speak on this? Daniel, can you just talk about that and how that...
Yeah. Thank you. It is. We had to go on an alternative option. Normally, ideally, at least the way we learned it here in seminary is that the church, the local church, supports their own pastors financially. That's what we believe here at Grace Church, and I believe that's the biblical way, as Stephen mentioned earlier. But Laredo is such a unique place in that there is a lot of needs. People are having to rely on the government a lot to be able to support their families. And so there is the faithful people that give unto the church, but there are small local congregations that come to these churches that are being established. And usually you get one pastor that they're able to support if they can. Usually the pastor has to work, so they are eight people, they work, and they also have to
by vocational,
be by vocational. They have to be there for their family, work, and preach the word and do a pastoral ministry. So because of that, we knew if we go down there, either I'm gonna have to do a full-time job to be able to help my family and at the same time minister, which would be limit the time that I and the things that I can do, or we can go for an alternative and see if there is any organization that will be willing to help us to go down there and treat us as missionaries, because a lot of organizations do not see Laredo as a mission organization, as a mission field, because it's in the U.S. and they assume in the U.S. it's a great, you have a lot of things here. And so that's the case in a lot of places, but unfortunately not in Laredo, Texas. And if you go down there and see the churches, you will see that the people have to work, the pastors have to work. There's just no way. So there is this missionary organization that is called the Central Missionary Clearinghouse that serves as that place where people can donate to, and then they will be giving the money to the missionaries on their organization. So thanks to the Lord, praise the Lord, I was able to get my paperwork with them, and now I am listed as one of their missionaries. And so if you want to help support our ministry, help support us, support my family to be able to go down to Laredo, we're going to go. and we know the Lord is going to provide, but the Lord provides through his people.
Yes.
So I don't know who you are that's listening, that you are like, yeah, I want to support. And maybe you have questions that we can answer. if you want to know more about Laredo or what we're trying to do. But yeah, there is a way to, if it's pressing on your heart that you just, you're encouraged to want to do this, you want to do this for the kingdom, for the Lord. The name of the website or the organization is the Central Missionary Clearinghouse. The website is CMC, the acronym, cmcmissions.org. And you can go there and you just look on the option to donate for the missionaries. It asks you to make an account. It's just so that they can have you on their registration document so that they can also send you a form so that you can claim it on your taxes that you helped a missionary. So it's all for those reasons. But yeah, they do ask that you make an account and then you just go on the list and you will see my name, Daniel and Ali Alfaro. We will show up right there.
Can you just spell that out for our listeners just so that they see it, please? You're just saying
yeah. So, So Daniel, I think that one is an easy one, but my last name Alfaro is A-O-F-A-R-O, A-O-F-A-R-O, and then my wife's name is also listed there. So it's Ali, you spell it A-L-L-E-I-G-H. It sounds weird, but it's Ali, that's how you say it. Don't know, it's a long story, but so Daniel and Ali Alfaro is...
And can you repeat the website one more time?
Yeah, the name of the website is cmcmissions.org. cmcmissions.org.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you find it in your heart to give whatever, I know Daniel will take, if you can only do $5 a month, $2 a month, I know that he would be very grateful. Right? Whatever the Lord puts in your heart. But what we're looking for is for regular givers. I know that he'll take one-time donations as well. But what we want to do is that we don't want him to be vocational, right? We know that Paul was making tent, and he did that at times when it was needed, but that was not a full-time thing. And this is not bashing any bivocational pastors, right? But we know that when a pastor is doing the Lord's work full time, the impact is absolutely there, right? And I hope that the Lord moves your heart. You can reach out here to Bridge in an email to confirm who Daniel is if you guys had questions as well. But we want Daniel to come here, and Daniel is going to give you a monthly report and how the things that are going here as a missionary. So that you know that once he gets his list of people that are supporting, he will be updating you through videos, through emails, and letting know the support, the impact, right, that he's having here for the glory of God. I'm just thinking, even Steve, when we move to this new location, you know, and we've talked about the impact that it's having Laredo, right? Amen. Because the harvest is great here.
It is.
The harvest is great, and the laborers are few. And we're just reaching out to our local audience, our worldwide audience, our state audience, whoever, right? And please, if you find it in your heart, this is a local guy who came from Mexico, right, and wants to reach the people of Mexico and the people of Laredo, the people of South Texas, and he needs your help. And he's my brother in Christ, who I've been friends with. And we've gotten closer here the last year and so even more. And, you know, I'll be supporting him too, you know. So, again, this is something that we believe in. And I know that he will be also help here at Bridge, right? Just sitting down and doing things. Not that he works for Bridge, but I know just him being here would be just an amazing thing here and just spending time here with the body. Yep. So, please. Go and visit cmcmissions.org. Is that correct? And yes. Look for Daniel and Ali Arfado and whatever the Lord puts in your heart. Well, Daniel, if you can please share the good news of the gospel to our worldwide audience before we close out here.
Sure. Yes. So if you're listening right now and perhaps you are somebody who has heard about Jesus, Perhaps you never heard of him before and somebody just told you about this website, or maybe you are somebody who has trusted in him. The gospel is both for believers and for unbelievers. But what we mean when we talk about the gospel, it means good news. And for it to be good news, that means that there was bad news before that. Now the bad news is that God, who is the creator of this world, the creator of heaven and earth, has, as the creator, given us his law for us to keep. Unfortunately, the first parents we had, Adam and Eve, did not keep it. They disobeyed. And because of their disobedience, our nature, our human nature, has become corrupt. So if you wonder why, when babies are born, they, as they grow, they do things that you didn't teach them to do, such as lying, stealing, fighting, you don't have to teach them to do any of those things. But that is because their heart is depraved. That is what the Bible says. We are conceived already in sin. Our nature is dead. If you look at the letter of Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 2, he talks about what their condition was. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were following the prince of the power of the air. They were sons of wrath, sons of disobedience, following whatever the devil wants, following their own passions. And that is what is true of every human being that has been born into this world, except one. And because of that, God, who is holy, who has given us his laws to keep, and we have broken them in every single way possible, we are liars, we are blasphemers against his name. Think about how many times you have stolen something at any time in your life, or use the name of God in vain. Think about those times that you have looked at somebody with lust in your heart. Those are things that God considers that are breaking his holy law. And the penalty for that is death. The penalty for sin is death. And that is not just dying from this world, but facing him. The Bible says that it is appointed for man to die only once, and after this comes the judgment. Think about that. You cannot avoid that. All your money, all your exercise, all your health, or your diets are not going to keep you from dying. Mm. And you hear about death left and right at different kinds of ages for different reasons. A lot of the times it gets very close to you, and maybe it makes you think about it, but it is unavoidable because God made it that way. But it's not, that's not it. After that, we're going to face God in judgment, the holy God, who is going to ask us or demand an account from us about what we did with our life. And if there is just a little bit of sin in your life, which there will be, because that is your spiritual status, you are totally depraved, he will have to judge you by his perfect law and send you to the eternal fire, the flames of hell, where you will be punished for your sin for all eternity. It is our desire for you not to go there. It is our desire for you to get forgiveness for your sin. But the only way to do that was through one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Lord Father, God the Father, sent to this world. Being God, he took on flesh upon himself, became a man 100%, and lived the perfect life that we cannot live, so that those that trust in his name will be credited with that perfect righteousness as if they did it, whereas it is him that did it. He comes and dies a death, a horrible death on a cross, where he faces the wrath of God upon himself, being that he was sinless. He was an innocent man, but he takes the place of the people that God had chosen from before the foundation of the world and says, I will pay the fine. I will pay with my own life so that you who believe in him would be forgiven of your sin. Because when he died on the cross, that sacrifice propitiated, it appeased the wrath of God to the fullest, to the point that anyone that places his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is automatically forgiven of all their sins, past, present, and future, and is justified before God as not guilty. What does that mean? It means that when you come to the room and you know you're guilty before the judge, somebody else paid your fine, the judge says, okay, you're legally justified. You are free to go. Why? Because someone else paid your fine. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And what does that mean for you? It means that God right now is calling all people from all places at all times. As long as you are still alive, God requires for you to repent of your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sin, so that you can be saved from the wrath to come, so that you can be forgiven from the things that you have committed, and also be set free from this depravity that you have that makes you go back into the things that are things that he hates. So the Lord Jesus Christ gives you a new nature, a new heart. That is the Holy Spirit that does it unto you, a new birth, a spiritual birth, so that you can do the things that please God. But those are things that you do after he saves you. How does he save you? You have to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gracious thing that he gives. It requires nothing from your part, no works. It is not by works. It is by grace. It is a free gift that he offers to human beings, sinners like you and me, so that you can be forgiven of your sin and be saved from the wrath to come. So if you're listening to this right now and you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not wait thinking, I'll just repent before I die. God is the one who grants repentance, and you never know whether you will actually have that opportunity. So today is the day of salvation. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. Cry out to him and ask him to forgive you and put your full trust, that you will trust a parachute if you will jump off the plane. Put your full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe he lived the perfect life you cannot live, and that he died the death that you deserve, so that you could be set free from the wrath to come and you could be with him for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that good news. All right. Well, Daniel, thank you for joining us. Hopefully we can have a follow-up this in the future and just give an update to our audience. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you, brother. And I hope to see you in September. And again, by God's will, you'll be here making disciples and preaching the good news to all the people here in Laredo.
Thank you, Daniel. We really appreciate your coming on with us. Love you, brother, and look forward to having you here.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah,
I love you guys. And I guess before I go, I'm not saying that Jesus is dead. He's alive. He resurrected on the third day. He's doing, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back for his people. So be encouraged by that. Amen. Because he lives. Those who trust in his name shall live also.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you guys.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's episode with Daniel Alfaro. We're super excited to have Daniel serve the people of Laredo. And again, if you would like to support Daniel, you can go to the website that we mentioned, and you can give on a monthly basis. Again, that's if the Lord puts in your heart. But please, we are doing God's work here for the people of Mexico, people of Laredo, the people of Central America and South America. And again, please visit us here. And super excited. Please don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And like we always like to end the show, we've been doing the Westminster, but today we're going to go with the Heidelberg. What is your only comfort in life, in death, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Jesus Christ? To next week.